Well, good morning to everyone. I didn't know there was two services, so when he called me yesterday, I said, wait a minute, okay. It has to be a different sermon. I wasn't going to do the same thing, right? Even though you're a different crowd, beautiful crowd, young people. All of us were young, even though I'm 25 above. You know, but I just so grateful just to be here. I'm fighting with this cold right now, so bear with me. It's been already a privilege to be working for the union as a vice president. I won't say much. I say it's already after 12. Time to go eat, right? That's what we do in the churches. We finish at 12 and then we go. Here you guys finish later. So this is going to be a potluck too, so no problem. And working with the young people, it's just so beautiful. 25 years doing a youth congress for 25 years, for the union, for the Spanish, Portuguese, some other invitees that we have every year, visiting every conference. And now as a vice president, it's different. It's different, but I have under me 15 ministries, and one of them is youth director from Northern California Conference, Eddie Hendricks. He is a youth director from Northern, but he's helping me for the union to do some things for the union. And so we're planning a big one, maybe next year, for the youth, a youth congress for the whole union. And you guys are so close, we might be in LA, close by someplace. You don't have to go up north or, you know. So we're gonna be close by. And so the youth are just so dear to my heart, really. Even though, like I said, I'm over 60 already, so, you know, but I'm still young, so, you know. And I still visit all the youth congresses that we have in every conference. And it's so beautiful. And so I talked to the other group about the second coming of Christ in a different way. But this time, to you guys, when he said, no, it's going to be the youth, the young adults. Oh, wow, okay. What can I say to you? Reading on the Bible, which I wrote it here myself. Sorry that I'm still getting something for my throat. So I better swallow it before feeding. Reading here from Exodus 2, 1 and 2. Chapter 2, 1 and 2. And I thought maybe with this experience of Moses, knowing that God has a dream for each one of you. God's dream for you is so wonderful. And sometimes we don't think about that. How can God dream about us? What is the dream that you think that God is having for you? Because sometimes we say, okay, Pastor, we study, we work, we come to church, we study the Bible. But sometimes we never think about a dream that God knows what is best for you. Sometimes we just continue living a good life. And so when I read these two verses, Exodus 2, 1 and 2, a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. I hear many people tell me, Pastor, my life is not worth anything. I do not know why I was born. Everything goes wrong. Has anything happened to you the last week? Yesterday? The last month? It seems like everything goes wrong. I have no luck at all. But if that kind of thought has ever come to your mind, let us think about the life of Moses this morning. Something that you already know, but I do in a different way. He came to this world with a purpose that nobody is born in this world without a purpose. Don't you think so? As we come to this world, there's something for us, for each one of you. And we all come to this world with a plan that God does not allow anyone to be born as a result of any chance. Okay, here we go. We're just coming and that's it. No. There's something special for you and me because he has a plan for each one of you. But how can God think about us, over 7 billion people in the world, and pinpoint one little one here in this earth? Wherever you are, God knows where you are. He knows what you do. He knows what you think. And so when I was reading this, knowing that he has a plan for each one of us, and even for me, but sometimes we're not happy. Sometimes we feel defeated, failed in many things, and have no peace in your heart. It is because you have not discovered that God has a plan for you. That's the way we feel. But let me tell you one thing, great people that you are as young people. We need to study the Bible. And I was so enjoying this morning the way you guys, I mean, you're young people, but you come and spend so much time in reading and getting, collecting the offerings and singing. I mean, you can, I go through so many churches. We have about 800 churches and companies in the union, only in Pacific Union. We have about 230,000 members. And this is part of our membership, the union, with about 600 pastors. But as I visit different churches, they do worship different. They do things different. And I enjoy this time, you know, the reading, the singing, even the young person comes and hey, let's kneel. Sorry that I couldn't kneel myself. I have two knee replacements, and as you know, two knee replacements, you cannot even kneel, cannot even touch the floor. But, you know, be there for 2 minutes. Like he said 2 minutes, and I think I was looking at my clock. No, not really. But 2 minutes, you know, let's stay 2 minutes, talk to Jesus. It's beautiful. But sometimes we think the plan of God that has for us, it's not working, but it's a divine plan that God will give you to you. And as we think about Moses, what was God's plan for Moses? Who he would be the liberator of Israel. God had a great mission for Moses. However, remember one thing, that the enemy appears in every place. God has a plan for you, but the enemy has another plan. That happened to you sometimes? That God knows that what you want to do, or what you want to do as a Seventh-day Adventist person, as a Christian, and then suddenly, hey, there's an enemy coming with a different plan because he wants to destroy God's plan that he has for you. He's always trying to destroy the plan. And he's just waiting that you make some mistakes in your life, meeting another friend, going with a girl, going with a guy, going to school, going to work. He's just waiting for a perfect moment that you will make a mistake. And sometimes we do mistakes. He keeps it telling us, hey, what about your family? What about their finances? What about things that are you doing right now? Are they okay? What about watching the TV? What are you watching? Is that okay? And so he tries to place in front of us too many obstacles in life so that never reach the ideal plan that God has for each one of us. And that happens. I tell you, I work a lot with young people and so many different experiences that one Sabbath they're in church, next Sabbath they don't come. Something happened. And then we know what happened. You know, and and even ministers, young pastors, some ministers that my heart hurts when they have to leave the church. Ministers, been for years in the church preaching like the way I am, better than me, really, but great persons, but then suddenly they just out of the church because they don't want to be more preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They just want to be outside. They want to be in the world. They want to do all the things after 20 years, after 30 years, after 10 years, and that hurts me because I have to deal with those pastors too. And so Satan always tried to get into some things that we don't like. But remember one thing, my friends, that God has a plan for you, a special plan, and has a dream for each one of you. What was the first thing the devil did to destroy the life of Moses? Sure, you know the story. He was born. He entered the heart of Pharaoh. Okay, let's sign a decree. Let's kill all the Hebrews, all the babies that are coming from the people of Israel. And that was his plan. But you know, he never thought that God had another plan. Because what happened? The story goes on, as you can read in chapter 2 in Exodus. And the story continues. Then the mother, knowing that he was going to be killed somehow, she made an ark of what is the name of that? Well, he put him there in the river bank right there. But then the princess, the daughter of the Pharaoh, she came with her maidens to bathe. And then they saw this ark, this little thing that was floating in the river. And she said, bring it over. And then she saw a little baby. And the Bible says she had compassion. I mean, coming from a daughter of a Pharaoh, people that were they were the biggest ones in town. I mean, he was the Pharaoh. That's his daughter, and she felt compassion for that little Hebrew. She felt compassion. And then, knowing how do you say Jochebed? Jochebed in the Spanish is Jochebed. Jochebed, the mother of Moses. Remember? Let's see if you guys remember. Jochebed, is that the name? Is that the name, right? It's the same, Jochebed. I better say it in Spanish, you will know. Jochebed, okay? So she said, hey, Mary, her daughter, you know, send her over, take care of your baby brother. And she was there. And looking at what was happening, then she ran and said to the princess, I have somebody, a lady, that will take care of the baby. Is that what you want? Yes, I want somebody to take care of this baby. I want the baby for myself. And guess what? She ran to her mom. She came with the mom. And here is Princess. She's the mother. She didn't say she's the mother. She's the lady that will take care of the baby. How can you think? And even she said, hey, take care of this baby. Grow in your house, and I will pay you. She was getting money from the princess. She was getting paid to take care of her own son. Isn't that something that we don't think about it? Because God, when God has a plan for each one of us, he knows where he goes. I mean, there was little baby Moses in the house of his own mom, and the mother happy taking care of her own son and getting paid. Well, you can get paid here if you go to welfare. You take care of the kids and you get money from the welfare. That's our country, you know. But over there, at that time, she paid because I want that baby. And as he went to the best universities over there in Egypt, and even though Satan wanted to destroy the baby at the beginning, but nothing happened because the baby grew. And he was already in the universities, getting ready for everything. But he never forgot what the mother said to the baby Moses that he was growing. And the Bible says, Proverbs 22:6, train the child in his way, and even when he is old, he will not turn away from him. That's what she did. Training that baby. And I just want to say something about, and that years later, when he was already a young man, studied at the universities, got everything there in his head, but you know what? When he saw an Egyptian trying to fight him with an Hebrew, and what happened? He tried to, hey, don't do that. Knowing already that he was part of the Hebrew people, the Israelites, he came over and he killed the Egyptian. He killed the Egyptian. When you go to a university where he was, a non-Christian, self-sufficient, he learned the things that I say, hey, there's no God for me. I can do everything. I was trained to be one of the best young persons in this town. I study a high school in a public school. It was okay. I was baptized before, but I play football, American football. I threw the discus. There's a discus in the shot put. And God was so good to me, thinking that I learned so many things in the public school, but he gave me so many things, so many options, trying to get my life together. And as I was 19 years of age, I said, Lord, help me on this. I just want to go to a university. And yes, he gave me two scholarships, and I think that was God. But to say, what do you want to do? I got the scholarship from for USC and Stanford University. And I said, what? To play football, yes. Because I was already playing on Sabbath. I was already playing on Friday nights. I was already doing what many young people wanted to do, play football or play baseball or any sports. And so getting all these trophies, all these medals, or everything, I was one of, and that is true, I'm not making it up, but I was one of the best. I was the best in that year, in my third year of high school, from all the students. Just for playing football. But I was already playing on Sabbath. And I didn't like that. The Lord had a dream for me. I knew that. But I wanted to play football. Man, can you imagine? I mean, 4 years go to school without paying anything. Later on, I had to go to a Seventh-day Adventist college, and I have to pay a lot of money. And we come out sometimes with big loans. It's a Christian school, beautiful. And I was thinking to myself, Lord, I'm not going to pay nothing here. Everything is a free ride. Just for playing football, that's it. But what you learn in those schools, like Moses, is self-sufficient, that you can do anything you want. We have many Seventh-day Adventist kids already in our public universities. I have somebody in charge of visiting those universities and meet with our own young people. I'm going to go to Berkeley and be with him and meet all the beautiful young people that they have to study there. They need to study there because that's what they want to do. But at least they get together, they pray, they go to church sometimes maybe, but they're there. But as we study in those universities, I did study, I had my experience in the high school without going to a university, a non-Christian. God was good. But it came to a point like Moses, since he killed this Egyptian, Then he thought, hey, I did it. I had a plan for myself. Nothing happens. But he didn't know that God was looking at him. God, sometimes we do things that maybe we say, hey, nobody saw us. Nobody saw what I'm doing. And Moses said, hey, nobody's looking at me. I killed this guy because he was beating up one of my Hebrew people. But the next day, what happened? The next day, two Hebrews were fighting each other. And when he saw them, he tried to, hey, don't fight anymore. And the guy said, hey, are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian the day before? He reminded him what happened. And he thought nobody saw him. And sometimes we think nobody sees what we are doing. We can do behind doors some things. We can do a lot of things behind that. Mom and dad won't see us. The pastor won't see us. The family won't see us. We can do a lot of things that I believe that only God, if he's looking at us, if he has a plan for you and for me, is because he will bless us. He will be behind in what sometimes the things we do. And my friends, Moses had to, hey, he said, hey, this thing is going to go to the Pharaoh, to my mom, you know, his mother, his stepmom. And so they're going to know about that I killed an Egyptian. No way. So what happened? He fled. He left Egypt. And you know what happened? He went to where? To the desert. What was he was going to do in the desert? You know, sometimes you and me might have to go to the desert to learn some things. Not about what is there, but it's the simple reason that he went to the desert because there was no other place. Place for vipers and snakes and animals, but he was there. He was there because there was no other place. He was escaping from Egypt. And sometimes we try to do the same thing. Go to the desert to do something else. Because I don't want somebody to know what I'm doing. But the Lord is so good and he's so great, because if he has a plan for you, he has a dream for you, he'll do something to bring you back. He'll do something to bring you back. And he did that to Moses. Even though he said, well, Lord, you know what? I'm coming here to this. What is this? Well, it's going to be a miracle because you're going to see a bush that is burning and is now what? Not consumed. It's still burning. What is this? In the desert? God sometimes have to go through this, through a miracle for you and me to come back. That's what I'm taking this from this life of Moses. Oh man, it's just it's so different what happens in our lives, and even though the Lord says, don't come too close. Take out your sandals, stay there, but remember who I am. I am your God. That's when he spoke to Moses. I am your God. I am that I am. And I had a plan for you, Moses. But you blew it. When you killed the Egyptian, you didn't even ask me. You didn't say anything to me. You just killed the Egyptian because you thought you have the power to do it. We don't have any power to do things. God is the one that gives us the power to do things. And we have to follow God. And Moses, he said, yeah, that's true, but I thought I was doing the right thing, you know, defending your own people. No, it's not that. Now you're here with me, and now you have to go. Go back to Egypt. Me, go back to Egypt. What am I going to do there? They're looking for me. They want to kill me, you know. I'm here. I'm happy over here. That's no problem. But you know what? On this occasion, on that bush, that was burning and not being consumed, the experience for me and for you could be that no matter where we are, no matter where we are, if the Lord has a dream for you and for me, the Lord will come to the place where you are. And you might say, hey, wait a minute, I'm going to be in the wrong place. He's going to come to you. What happened to Moses? He came to that place. He came to that place. Jesus came to that place. And I tell you, a friend of mine, a drug addict, he found in the place where he was getting his, you know, his weed and all his cocaine and everything. But he went in that place, he found a book. And as he read the book about Jesus, guess what? He was transformed. He wanted to be with God. And you might say, but God is going to come to that place where he was getting his cocaine, his all his things that he needed. Yes, God comes to that place. Because when he comes to that place is holy. It makes it holy. It's not the place, it's God that is coming to that place. And when God came to that place with Moses, that place was holy because God was there. And he can find you no matter where you are. If you want to continue looking for God, God will come to you no matter in what place. I mean, he came to me. Came to me the last time that I, throwing the discus in the competition for the state of California, coming to L.A., from up north. He came to me on that place on a Friday night. I wasn't doing good, but at least I went through the finals. On the next day at 11 o'clock a.m., I have to do my participation. Can you imagine? Instead of being in a church, I was throwing the discus. Because before that, I told my mom, you know what, I think this is going to be the last time. I'm not going to miss any more Sabbaths. You know, this is the last time. I've been missing so many Sabbaths, so many great people like you guys come to church and enjoy church and worship God. Well, guess what? For me, thinking it was the last Sabbath, yes. So I didn't do good on Friday, but at least I placed for the last six persons to participate in the next day at 11 o'clock. And got my turn, didn't feel good. So God came to me on that place, even though I didn't place within the first three, since I had already my numbers, knowing what should I place. I was number six. I wasn't that bad. Number six in the whole state of California. But God came to that place on a Saturday on campus to say, Jorge, I'm coming to you. I am who I am. Leave everything. I will give you more things, better things. And I said, oh, yeah, well, you know, I'm not going to pay in UC. It's a lot of money to pay. Are you going to give me that? You think so many things about what would happen in your life, but God is so good, so wonderful, so great that he came to that place. And even though I played number six within the six, I was the last one, number six, I was six. And so I said, Lord, I'm going back home. And going back home, I thought about myself. I left my scholarships. I left everything. But you know what? I gained better things in life than now I enjoy. 44 years in the ministry, I don't repent on when I took my decision. I mean, I'm so happy with a wife, with two sons, my daughter-in-laws, three little girls, seven, five, and four. I mean, what else can I ask? And working with people like you and visiting so many churches, being with a family that I love. So I got more things that sometimes we think we're going to lose than what I would get some money playing football and everything, because that's what I love. If they give me a scholarship because something, I was doing good, something. That doesn't mean that when you go through college with a scholarship, you're going to play, football in the big leagues. No. But at least you can study. You can enjoy 4 more years playing football. You know, if nobody chooses you, hey, so what? But no, I decide to give everything. Moses says, hey, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't even know what to say. Hey, look at me, Moses. I am who I am. I'm going to speak for you. And he went back to Egypt. He sent him to go and be the liberator of my people. And he did. Came back with all his people out of Egypt. But guess what? Right in front of him, it was the Red Sea. And one side, the mountains. And the other side, the other mountains. Behind him, the army of the Pharaoh that is coming to destroy him, to kill all the people of Israel. No water, no shade, no food. Lord, what am I going to do? He says, Lord, give me water. The Lord gave him water. Lord, give me food. The Lord gave him food. Lord, give me a shade. Sure, there is something to. You want that? Okay, it's good. All right. The Lord gave him everything because the Lord had a plan for Moses. The Lord had a plan for me. And the Lord has a plan for each one of you. The Lord has a plan for each one of you. And as Moses was getting ready after, he says, hey, I don't have anything. How am I going to cross this Red Sea? How am I going to go through the waters? I can't swim. I don't know what to do with 1 million and more people behind me. But he said, the Lord said, Moses, what do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? Hey, just a rod. With this rod, am I going to walk through the waters or what? With this rod, am I going to kill the Egyptian army? Moses, what do you have in your hands? Just a rod. Okay. Tell the waters to divide themselves. And he did it. In the name of God, the water divided. They walked through dry land. People behind him, all the armies of Pharaoh, walked. And after Israelites outside already on the other side, the waters came back again and killed everybody. That's what the Bible says. Even though the movies, you know, oh, Ram says he was still waiting. He was outside. He was there. You know, there's so many things that when they make movies, you know. I visited Ramses area in the Nile River. And sure, that's all true. That's in the Bible. And you can see all the things that the slaves work. They were for so many years. Making this, making that, and you see big areas of the cities, the city of Ramses, all the other areas of the pharaohs. I mean, so many things that is so rich in the history of Egypt by the river, Nile River. So Moses, the Lord had a plan for Moses. But remember one thing, the Lord said, Moses, hey, now you are going with my people. Continue. And what happened? But you're going to die. You're not going to go into the place that I promise you. Let your people come and feel and taste the food and be in the big cities. But you're going to die before. You can look at it from far away, but you're going to die. As he was in Mount Nebo. When I visited that, there is a statue of Moses. Because he was there looking at the promised land. Canaan. He was there looking at, but you're going to die. And what happened? Moses died. Even though he was shouting, Lord, please do not let me die in this place. take me with my friends, my family. I want to go there. But the Lord had a plan for Moses. And as he died, until now, the Bible says, they don't know where he was put. He was laid. They don't know his place. Why? Because God took Moses to heaven. That was a big plan, brother, my friends. That was a big plan. The Lord got me through all these years. I'm still, working. Two knee replacements, my back already, surgery, what else can I say? I can be sick or I can be some things that I don't have, the original ones, my knees, playing so much football. But the Lord has something for me, the promised land. The Lord has something for you. The Lord took Moses to heaven, and as he was sitting at the throne, he looked at the people, he looked at all his people coming to the promised land. Not at that age that he was hurt already, he was already old, he was already tired, but now he was there looking at the people of God, crossing the land, coming to the promised land, and he was sitting in the throne. You and me can do the same thing when we believe that God is our God of love, that the God is the one that has a plan for you and for me. Never forget about the plan that God has for you. If you go out, miss the gift that God wants to give to you. But if you're there, oh man, if you're there, you have to experience more. You're still young, and the enemy continue sending those obstacles for you not to study in the university, for you not to get married, for you not to do this, for to do that, to get a good job. There's so many things that could happen. But if you give yourself to the Lord will continue with the plan that he has for you, because he has a dream that you will come to the promised land. My friends, God is great, and I just want to finish with this thought. My question today is, are you allowing God's dream to come true in your life? God is at your side. He can work miracles, but if you do not allow it, what can he do for you? He's not doing nothing if you don't allow what God wants to do for you. God is at your side. God has a great dream for you. Therefore, he wants us to come back to him again. And will ask us, what do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? You might say, I have a dollar. With that $1, God will make a miracle. May God bless you that today, knowing that he gives us good news of salvation, good news to be with God, with Jesus. And as we continue worshiping God in every Sabbath, every day, every time in our lives, in different ways, may God use you that we can be ready for Jesus' coming. Right? God bless you all. Thank you. And I'm so happy. I had a great time with you guys. God bless you.